or B1, public hearing on the draft West Main Street Road Diet Study.
Thank you. So this is the public hearing on a package that included two studies, including a road diet study for West Main Street and a neighborhood traffic study for the Oak Poplar neighborhood. Just a quick timeline to give you a context of where we're at. In December of 2010, the board approved a local match for the studies to take place. In February of 2011, after a Transportation Advisory Board presentation, the board supported a road diet in concept and authorized a traffic and safety analysis be completed. Decision was made to package the two studies for efficiency purposes, so we had a public participation process that involved both studies simultaneously, which was helpful because the neighborhood is adjacent to West Main Street. So there were two public participation opportunities associated with the studies. One was a neighborhood walk in November of 2011. There was also a public meeting held at Carborough Elementary in December of 2011. And I'm happy to say that both were, I'd say, moderately attended, but both had very good discussion and very helpful input from neighbors. And then for those who couldn't attend the public participation opportunities, the opportunity was available for folks to email or call with their comments. In February of 2012, a draft report was produced by the consultant and reviewed by staff, and there was courtesy review by a number of agencies who would be stakeholders in the process. And then on March 6th, the board received the initial presentation and set the public hearing, referred the studies for TAB review. And the TAB met to consider the studies on March 15th, 2012. The TAB had two recommendations on March 15th. While the TAB finds much value in the draft two studies, they said they felt they need more time to discuss it thoroughly and make a recommendation for approval. They did have one specific recommendation on one of the potential solutions mentioned in the neighborhood traffic study, that the board direct staff to conduct a traffic impact analysis, evaluating different one-way configurations on Oak Avenue and possibly on surrounding streets as well. And one additional comment to the TAB from a resident who wasn't able to make it expressed support for the study and also recommended that there be mitigation of safety issues at the Oak Avenue and North Greensboro Street intersection. And I have the summary of findings right here, but with that, I'm going to turn it over to Martin Alexiou Bryson, Jody Lewis, and Miller Cochran from MAB are here to summarize the main points of the two studies.
Good to be here tonight. Talk about our study again. Jeff's already given a really good background of how we've gotten to where we are, so we're going to spend a little bit more time talking about the details of what went into our study. I'm going to talk about the road diet portion of the study and traffic analysis associated with that, looking at West Main Street from the intersection with Weaver Street up to Hillsborough Road. Jeff talked about a little bit about what we've done to date, including with that we collected traffic counts, new traffic counts for the study area. We have some good data to look at. Study area itself for the road diet includes West Main Street from West Weaver Street up to Hillsborough Road in front of Carver Elementary. The Oak Poplar Neighborhood study included the Oak Poplar Neighborhood bounded on the south by West Weaver Street, on the west by West Main Street and Carver Elementary, and then along the east and north side by Greensboro Street. So the road diet. What is a road diet? A lot of people may not know what that is, but it's just what it sounds like it is. We're going to look at options for taking the road and reducing the roadway capacity, the ability to carry more cars on the road. Right now, the cross section of the road includes four travel lanes. We looked at ways to reduce that down to two travel lanes in each direction with a center turn lane, with bike lanes on each side of the road. And we want to do this without actually physically moving the curb line. We want to keep the curb lines where they are. And the good thing about that is it's cheaper to implement. And if you discover sometime down the road that capacity is needed, you can go and do it pretty easily. But I think the concept is to put it in place for long term. So what we looked at, again, is the entire cross section of the street. You can see in the middle graphic here, you can sort of see the underlying existing pavements with a four-lane cross section. What the result is a three-lane cross section with the two travel lanes in each direction, center turn lane and the bike lane. And the upper graphic shows the resulting, we'll call it typical cross section, showing the curb lines. And then inside the curb, you have bike lanes, which includes 2 feet in the gutter, and then 3 11-foot lanes. That's pretty typical, but it may vary a little bit because of the width of the road does change a little bit as you move along. Again, the concept begins down at the intersection of West Weaver Street and reaches up to Hillsborough Road, where actually we're going to be matching the cross section on each end as you're coming into the corridor. We're connecting the bike system in those locations. One thing we did look at, but I think we dismissed, and I think we're okay dismissing this, was this idea of a bike box. What a bike box is and what it does, it gives bicyclists priority at the signalized intersection. It allows the bicyclist to use the travel lane and go to the front of a queue of vehicles, and it works best if they're trying to make a left-hand turn. They're allowed to go beyond the queue of the vehicles and get over in front of the vehicles to make a left-hand turn. While we think this could work, when you have a high volume of left-turning bicyclists, we don't think that's out there today to warrant it, so we dismiss this for that reason. Plus, it's not a common application in North Carolina. There aren't many places across the country to do this. And we were asked at the last meeting, what's the threshold for having a bike box? And there's no real threshold for volume of traffic to implement it. It's just more subjective in nature to make that decision.
Am I correct that that would be easy to add in the future, of course?
It would be, I think so. But again, it's when do you do it? What level of bicycle traffic do you really want it? Yeah.
Is it, this would be looked at for West Weaver and West Main?
Yes, ma'am.
And seems to me from my experience that there are many folks who want to make that left-hand turn there, and that would be a good concept to test out. I'm trying to understand why we would not want to test it, and then if we found that it wasn't doing what we wanted it to do, to eliminate it rather than not try it at all. Because that left-hand turn is not an easy one, and what ends up happening is cyclists look to see, you know, is the light with me or against me, and if it's not with me, I'll just make, you know, the quick turn. I'd rather not see that happen.
Right. Everything we're talking about with the pavement marking will eventually have to go through DOT approval. And that's something we could bring up with them. They might be familiar with it. They may not be. And if we could demonstrate how we could implement it and then remove it if it maybe is creating a hazard for bicyclists or just not needed, then it could come out pretty easily. Mm-hmm. Now, the bike lane itself could remain mm-hmm. up to the intersection, but mm-hmm. the bike box is the only additional thing that's a little bit different than normal.
Now, one thing that wasn't clear to me last time, because I remember seeing the picture, was in this picture it just has one lane that has it, not the one beside it, but up here your illustration kind of indicates it might be through traffic and the turning traffic. Is that the more common application to have all the lanes have the bike box at the top?
Again, I don't think this is a really common application, but here we try to demonstrate how it could be used to serve the left-turning bicyclists. Mm-hmm. Now, what's shown in the graphic is, you know, a painted bike lane. We're not proposing that here because, again, everything has to go through DOT approval. It's going to be maintained by DOT. We don't think that DOT would be willing to maintain a painted bike lane
right.
like that. I mean, if you guys want mm-hmm. to take it on, they may mm-hmm. want to implement something like that, but we're not recommending that.
Okay. Thanks.
I just wanted to add that just because we don't have that in North Carolina, you know, anywhere else, would not mean that we wouldn't be interested in
right.
having it here at Carver.
Okay. Right. I know. Any other comments on this? We'll move on.
Keep going.
So So the traffic data, we did collect new traffic data. One thing to note is the data we did collect, unfortunately, was collected during the time that West Weaver Street was closed for reconstruction. So what we've done is try to artificially inflate those numbers back to what they might would have been if West Weaver Street was open. But we realize that these may be a little bit low. But so these level of service findings, we're still pretty confident in. We got very good level of service B or A across the board, either existing conditions and also with the road diet in place, we feel like we'd still get really good levels of service. And then as an add-on to our analysis of it, we also analyzed a roundabout at the intersection of West Weaver Street and West Main Street, and that includes a five-lane roundabout, single-lane roundabout, and we analyzed that with the turning movements we had, and we, again, came up with very good levels of service. But we've got a couple of graphics showing what that may look like. Jeff Brubaker gave us this, I guess, been prepared by a previous designer. It looks kind of muddled, so I kind of did some crayon work on it. What the yellow is showing is the existing curb lines of the existing intersection. And the next graphic shows the impacts of what the roundabout would be. The really big impact would be on what would be the, I guess, the northern corner where the gas station is. The rest of the corners have some impacts, but not as significant as that, that land over there. The fifth leg is Elm Street coming in under, if this was left as a at-grade intersection or a conventional intersection, our recommendation would have been to try to maybe close Elm Street or at least modify the operations to make it simpler and cleaner to operate at the intersection because it's a stop-controlled approach right next to the signalized intersection. So this is what a roundabout may look like. It may shift a little bit in final design, but this is a pretty close representation of what it may look like.
Oh, I've got a quick question. Does DOT do striped islands like that one has there anymore?
Which one?
Right, the existing road, you see that triangle that sticks out? It says striped island.
Oh, yeah.
Is that grandfathered in, or does DOT still do that kind of thing?
I've seen both. Ideally, you want to have a raised median for pedestrian refuge. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure why that's left there. It could be to provide bigger turning area for vehicles making the turn around that
I think
corner.
It's currently a right turn lane.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. And the reason I ask is because up on Poplar, there's a similar corner, and we might want to consider a similar treatment, a striped island, to make that not as crazy of a broad curve as it is.
Right. So that's just both graphics that relate together. So what we found is the road diet is not expected to significantly reduce capacity of the road to the point that there's, you know, prevailing congestion on the roadway. And even going further, if we think we put a roundabout in there, it'll work. But again, putting a roundabout in will require more analysis than what we've done. And DOT, they typically like to look at a 25-year build-out for putting in a roundabout because it is such an investment in the roadway. You want to make sure it's going to be functional 25 years down the road. In our analysis, just didn't go out that far. We were using just existing traffic counts for our analysis. So now Miller will come up and talk about the neighborhood study for you.
So this is the other component of our study, looking at the Oak Poplar neighborhood and some of the issues and concerns we heard about circulation and traffic in the area. So we broke these down into different sort of broad categories of comments that we heard, and most of these are from the public walk that we took, the neighborhood walk on November 3rd, and the public meeting that we had on December 5th. That's where most of these ideas come from. So the pedestrian issues are really missing sections of sidewalk, or there's no crosswalk currently in between West Main Street in between West Weaver and Hillsborough Road. That's sort of a big gap in the crosswalk area. So that's something that we could look at as part of the road diet. Also, up at Oak and Greensboro intersection, that sort of has some weird markings. And it's there's no crosswalk marked there. There are also a number of issues that came out specifically relating to Carborough Elementary and some of the traffic concerns there. The roundabout, the sort of drop-off area, is unmarked as to who yields to whom and sort of what the order is there. Some confusion about what to do on Shelton Street, And then the area around Shelton, Hillsborough, and West Main Street is also a confusing intersection. And then just some sort of general neighborhood circulation issues that didn't fit into any other category. High traffic on Greensboro, potential for cut-through traffic in the neighborhood, poor compliance with stop signs. What are the impacts of new potential development in the area? There's the CVS and the proposed development across from Shelton. How do those impact the neighborhood? So those are some of the other concerns that we had that came out of comments we heard from the public. And so what we did is we took these solutions, or took these issues that we heard, and we tried to brainstorm several solutions that the town could explore further. In general, all of these would require more detailed study, a standalone study in most cases. But we tried to come up with this decision matrix to help the town decide what options they might choose to pursue. So we had three different categories: affordability, feasibility, and effectiveness, that we tried to provide some idea, just at a high level, of what might be a part of each solution. So we ranked them, or gave them a broad ranking, and we used a plus sign system, 1 to 3 plus signs, where 1 was a sort of lower ranking, 3 was a higher ranking. For affordability, I think generally we used 3 was less than $10,000, our estimate, 2 was $10,000 to $50,000, and 1 was anything over $50,000. I think that's, but again, you know, those are very sort of fudgy numbers. They're high level, they're not the product of a detailed engineering study. But this is just sort of to give the town and to give the citizens an idea sort of what the level of effort might be if they choose to pursue any of these options, and as the town decides which, if any, of the potential solutions they would like to pursue. The one that's gotten the most attention, I think, is the first one, the Oak Avenue one-way. That's something we heard a lot from the neighbors, and is a big topic the last meeting we had, and the TAB mentioned it as well. So, but that would require a standalone traffic impact analysis to really understand what the impacts to the neighborhood are and to the whole transportation network. So with that, we can take questions and comments.
Okay.
I did have a few more slides to present.
Go ahead.
Related to comments that the board gave at the March 6th meeting. So one discussion point that was raised was crosswalks on West Main Street, this was one of the top issues, as Jody and Miller pointed out. This is one of the top issues during the planning process, and several comments requested marked crosswalks. A road diet would reduce the number of vehicle lanes needing to be crossed, but if it was just a lane reconfiguration, you'd still have the same distance of crossing. And the plan did mention how a refuge island could be considered at mid-block locations. I think another thing to bring up was that there was some discussion, if I recall correctly, about the Main and Poplar intersection and how that geometry causes long crossing distances for pedestrians. I believe one comment from a neighbor called Carborough a runnable community because you need to run across the street at that location. I did want to point out that the draft Safe Routes to School Action Plan, of course, in the vicinity of Carborough Elementary, did take a look at this intersection and recommended that a refuge island be placed across Poplar Avenue right here, which would, I think, help with that crossing of Poplar. If you put refuge islands somewhere in this location in Main Street, of course, you have left turning cars, so that's a potential constraint. But the Safe Routes Action Plan did take a look at putting a refuge island in this location, which would likely provide a visual cue for slowing down right-turning cars and also provide a two-stage protected crossing for pedestrians. And they kind of gave this visualization. So it has been considered in other plans, and I think that the road diet study is primarily looking at a pavement marking change. So I don't think anything in the road diet study precludes looking in the future at pedestrian refuge islands in this area.
Jeff, if you're going on Hillsborough Road away from, if you're going away from Town Hall up that way toward Hillsborough Road, you could still go left on Poplar and just go past the island and go down?
I believe so, yeah. But that would, of course, have to be looked at in more detail.
Jeff, does what you just said mean that it would be really hard to, can you go back to the other slide, put an island midway on Main Street? Because it seems like that's one of the things that's holding up a crosswalk. So on Poplar, when you go across.
Right here.
Right, either there or on the other side. One of the reasons why there's hesitancy to do a crosswalk before being able to have a raised island is because it may be dangerous, but are you saying that you may not ever be able to have a raised an island?
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying if you want to preserve the ability for cars to folks to make left turns onto Poplar, you just have to be cognizant of where
it goes,
where that might be placed.
Right.
Because I don't
think that's why you guys were talking about mid-block crossings.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm insisting on us considering a crosswalk here. I've talked to so many people who come up Poplar or come down the other way, and it would be really odd. I mean, probably not too many people would do it. Cut down, use the crosswalk, and cut back up again. And I was also curious about that painted triangle that I pointed out earlier, the treatment on Main and Weaver. This is that corner I was referring to. It looks like you could have a similar kind of crosswalk treatment like there is on that street with just painted lines. And then that way we could implement this in this proposed road diet just with painted lines.
Yeah, I think what you'd want to do is you'd want to consider what needs to happen at this intersection. And if folks are going to be turning left in their cars onto West Poplar and turning left in their cars onto East Poplar, you'd want to consider where you might be able to make any kind of pedestrian amenity. Of course, a crosswalk, I think, could be considered, but at the same time, you probably wouldn't have enough room for a bike lane, a through lane, a left turn lane, and then a pedestrian refuge island, and then another through lane, and then a bike lane.
Right. If we go to Main and Weaver, it seems like it's the same kind of corner or intersection, I mean. So I'm just wondering why we can't have a similar treatment right here.
But a similar treatment like at Main and Weaver, but instead it would be
maybe
in the middle.
Because we have lights, traffic lights there, and we don't hear.
I think the question that is to be clear, what would be the exact location of that painted island? Would it be in the middle of the road, or would it be at this location?
Yeah, that's the one I'm referring to right there.
Right here?
Yeah, that's how it is on Main and Weaver Street. And you have a crosswalk crossing that little lane, and then you have another one going to the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Can we inquire with DOT about that?
Sure. Yeah, I think that would be the. I would think that would be the best option is to consider it further. I'm not sure if I can provide a definitive answer.
I didn't think you were. Okay. Thanks, though.
Yeah. And one more point I wanted to make is that with the TAB recommendation of a traffic impact analysis, you'll note in the fiscal and staff impact of the agenda abstract that this could be completed. I think the scope of the project would involve collection of traffic data, analysis, recommendations, public outreach, and presentation to the board and advisory boards. And we wanted to just note that there is a staff impact if it were to be done in-house of a very rough estimate would be 200 hours of work. And if that were to be translated to a consultant, if a registered engineer were to be procured for this study, it would translate very roughly into the ballpark of $16,000 to $24,000.
200 hours, that's about a week of your time.
Jackie?
I'd like to suggest that if we do that, that we wait until Shelton Station opens, because that's going to have a great impact on Oak Avenue. I don't think everybody there is going to be walking. And that's a lot of units there and businesses, and I'd hate to see us go through either the staff time or the money for something that 3 years down the line was obsolete.
So you think we should delay action for 3 years?
Well
let's, we, if I may.
I'm suggest. Just saying for just this one thing, we wait till the end, right?
I just was going to suggest we have a couple of Oak Avenue residents who are here. Shall we go ahead and hear from them? And then, all right. So I would like to start by calling up Catherine Devine.
Hi, Chef.
Hi,
good evening. Happy camper. I don't have any big gripes about the traffic status quo that we have on Oak Avenue now. Like I said, I'm a happy camper. The proposed one-way designation is not real is not undesirable, nor is it real desirable for me. I could argue, but not forcefully, the matter of orientation. Is north to south better for what reason than south to north, which would suit me better, but again, I'm not going to make a big deal of it. I want to say just one thing, too, the most important thing I want to tell you. I really like the proactive nature of the traffic study and this discussion in stark contrast, pardon me, with the reactive nature of so much recent public discussion. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks, Catherine. Jenny McMillan and then Michelle Rose.
Unlike Catherine, I have a lot of complaints about the current traffic situation on Elk Avenue. And I'm a little bit disappointed with this study. It was my understanding 3 years ago when I heard they were hiring consultants. I was under the impression that they were going to do an analysis of a one-way on Oak Avenue, that was what instigated the neighborhood study. And so I would be even more disappointed to see you guys delay action for 3 years until Shelton Station came into being, because I've lived in my house for 20 years, and over the years there's been a steady increase in pressure from the traffic on that street. It is a street that is very heavily used by pedestrians day and night. A lot of people walk their dogs there. It is more than just the residents of the neighborhood that use the street. And as it is, there's no way to get out of the way of cars. There have been several times on my end of Oak Avenue when we have put down the things to measure how fast everyone's going to try and get a speed bump. I live on the north end. And we were never successful because not enough cars were going more than the speed limit. But apart from the people that are just going terrifyingly fast, I think that the people that are going the speed limit are going too fast for the nature of that street, for as narrow as it is and as well trafficked as it is by pedestrians. And I think that one solution that in the reality of that we can't afford a sidewalk, even if everybody agreed that that's what we wanted, that would not cost that much money would be to reduce the speed limit on that street to 15 miles per hour. And I think that you could do a lot with signage and a lot with striping to let the cars that are on the road now know that this is not a regular street. They need to go slower. I think you could put fluorescent speed limit signs. I mean, there's a lot of things that you can do that certainly I discussed during the public meeting with some of the people that did this study. And I think it would be good to hear more of those thoughts in that direction. Let me see. I think that's everything I have to say. I just think that it's only going to get worse for us. And right now, I'm terrified every time my 10-year-old goes down the street on his bicycle. I want him to get there safely, and I want for you guys to do something soon. And I thank you very much for your time.
Yeah, go ahead. I was just going to ask what made you think that the, given that I haven't been on the board that long, that the impetus for this traffic study was that to make Oak one way, it would be helpful for me to know a little bit.
Well, I don't know what happened in the town. I know that we've changed traffic personnel since this started. There was supposed to, I think that after the south end, and also I do think that going northbound, as has been suggested, is the right way to go, because I think that eliminates the incentive to cut through the neighborhood. My neighbors on the south side have been much more successful with the town and getting a speed bump. They've been much more vocal. And after they got the speed bump, and I'm sure Michelle can fill in on this, there was some talk about, well, in addition, could we make Oak Avenue one way? And then people said, well, if we're going to do that, we need a study. And there was going to be a neighborhood meeting, but then there were personnel changes, and the study happened, but the meeting didn't. Mm-hmm. And that was my understanding based on nothing other than putting things together.
Yeah, you answered my question. It was, which way would you see the one-way traffic? And you said really going out toward North Greensboro if we're one way.
That's from my end of the street. I don't know what it looks like on the other end. But the people that are going exceedingly fast that scare me are usually going south. And not only do they go south on Oak Avenue, but they go up to Merritt, they take a right, they go to Lindsay, they go down Shelton, and they go through Elm. And by the time they get to Elm, they're going 40 miles an hour. I have my neighbor here that lives on Elm that can attest to that.
Thanks.
Jenny, you mentioned that, you know, sidewalks. Is there an interest in sidewalks? I know that that's one of the reasons that, you know, you're walking in the road all the time.
I would dearly love to see sidewalks. I know I have many neighbors that don't agree with me, and I think that there are plenty of places on Oak Avenue where even if everyone agreed they wanted them, that you couldn't put them and leave the street the way it is. Mm-hmm. And it's my understanding that the funding's just not there.
Jenny, and I wish I would have brought this up earlier as more people were commenting, but one other idea I was that we were considering is up Shelton and then going north on Oak and south on Oak from Shelton. So the idea there being that people are cutting through on Oak both ways. So this would be one way to have it be you can't turn in on Oak. It's a one-way coming out this way, and it's a one-way going out that way.
That sounds really confusing to me. I remember you brought that up at the last meeting about on March 6th. That sounds strange to me. But I would defer to someone who's an engineer.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Michelle Rivest and then John Alderson.
Thanks. I'm Michelle Rivest, and I live at 100 Oak Avenue up by the Weaver Street south end. That direction always confuses me. So I wanted to just first thank Jeff and the consultants for their time. It was really great, as Catherine said, to have this be a proactive process, an inclusive process, and a very friendly process. Walking the town together was a great opportunity. I just wanted to speak to a couple of the solutions that are proposed, the options, one being the one-way north down Oak Avenue towards Greensboro Street. I would be in favor of that for reasons we've talked about before. It'll be safer, more walkable, more pleasant, more livable, less speed, much less danger for all of us who live in the streets and in the neighborhood, because as you've heard, it's really for the whole neighborhood in the downtown area, Oak Avenue is. So I'm very much in favor of that. I wanted to contrast that a little bit with the sidewalk proposal. And Randy, you asked about that. You know, we have had a lot of discussions about sidewalks on Oak Avenue, and I think the biggest problem for Oak Avenue in terms of sidewalks is that it is narrow now. You would have to, in terms of right-of-way, go right into the mill houses' front yards, which are maybe only 10 or 12 feet deep anyway, mine being one of those. We have 100-year-old oak trees. Some of those would have to go. And the utilities crisscross the entire street up and down. So it'd be a very expensive redo. So in some ways, I think the best option, if it were affordable and feasible, would be to make Oak Avenue one way and put in a sidewalk so we can accomplish all of those goals. That may be a very far out, long-term, costly solution. So I really like the thought about, let's go for something low cost in the interim. Let's not wait. This has been an issue for a decade. It's only getting worse. I like Jenny's idea about reducing the speed. We hadn't talked about that before, but speed bumps, we too would advocated for both ends of Oak Avenue to have those. It has helped our end to have it, although I think it also just as a challenge for some young drivers to just see how fast they can still get up to the end of the street. So it hasn't solved the problems by any means. So I think striping is another good alternative, just to indicate, yes, there are people, bicyclists, people pushing strollers, walking dogs, et cetera. So I think there are some things we can do that wouldn't be too expensive to add to the safety and walkability of the street. So thank you again for the study and the opportunity.
Michelle, when you said a sidewalk, do you mean that if Oak was one way, having just kind of a striped sidewalk like we had on Shelton?
That would be a good first start. But I don't think you'd have opposition to a sidewalk, a formal sidewalk with a curb, if Oak Avenue were one way and the sidewalk was built into the other, some part of the street.
That's what I meant. So yeah. That it wasn't taking the trees.
Wasn't taking the whole trees
or
and the gardens and so on. So
right.
If there's some way to accomplish that,
right,
that would work.
Thanks, Michelle.
We'd be supportive.
Michelle, I want to ask about the speed bump. Would you show us how far, because my recollection
is
that there, yeah. My recollection is there's only one. Is that
there
right?
There is only one.
Yeah.
That's right. So let's see. I always have a hard time. Where's
Weaver Street? It's north of Evansport.
Weaver Street is down here.
All the way at the bottom.
Weaver Street is down here. That's right. So we're, it's about here.
No,
it's, isn't it south
one.
Poplar?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, it's down in
yeah.
there.
Right. So it's right in here.
So that's the only, that's the only one on the whole stretch. Okay.
And it's right on that. Right ahead of the curve as you come up to Weaver Street. So it's helpful because a blind person actually lives right there. So it's a good location. It doesn't do anything for the northern part of the street.
It does cause you to see their sign about the resident being blind.
Not really. Because,
I
think.
Me.
Well, I think it does for some, but I think a lot of drivers still just have their eye on, they're almost to Weaver Street. So if you're walking or hanging out on that end of the street, it often doesn't slow the traffic down at all, or not much anyway. Not enough so that you feel safe.
All right, John Alderson. Thanks, Michelle.
Bad speed bumps. I don't like
it. Shake.
Not these legs. So I live with Michelle at the south end of Oak Avenue. And like Catherine initiated, I just want to appreciate and encourage this town to continue to do inclusive and proactive approaches that involve the neighborhood in this process. Really feels like being part of a community, and I thank you for that. Michelle has mentioned some of the things that I was going to say, so I'll just echo those. One is one way north. I think that that's a more effective way to go one way just based on our 25 years there. Randy, I think your idea is interesting, and I like thinking about how do you keep people. Sorry, Sammy. How do you keep people from cutting through one way? But I kind of agree with Jenny that it's confusing, but I think it ought to be explored more in terms of what there is that might be another solution we haven't come up with yet at this point. I think the idea of striping is the most cost-effective, and I think it's feasible. I really have a question about this study, about why making Oak Avenue one way has low feasibility. And maybe you guys can speak to that, or maybe the town can look into that further. The thing I want to say about the speed bump that we got on the south end, it isn't the one we asked for. So it doesn't really slow people down like the one over on, I think there's one on Pine that has more impact for a car going over it at 45 miles an hour. So I think if the town was going to consider putting speed bumps north,
the bigger one would have make much more difference in this process. The last thing I want to speak to is the notion about the raised pedestrian island. I think it's a really good idea at Greensboro and Oak Avenue. That's a very dangerous intersection for pedestrians crossing any direction. And it's a very dangerous intersection for drivers. Turning right, it's dangerous. Mm-hmm. Turning left, it's a nightmare. Mm-hmm. Also, entering Oak Avenue from Greensboro is also really dangerous. And we had a really good conversation on the street and that walk with the consultants about something needs to be there that slows this whole process down and makes it safe for pedestrians, bikers, and drivers. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, John. All right. Is there anybody else who came to speak on this who hadn't signed up? Come on up, Jackie.
And Chris.
And Chris in a minute. And that guy in a minute.
I actually just have, I have more of a question. I live on Elm Street, and recently when we had all the road construction done, the end of the street was actually closed off, so we sort of got to experience that, practically speaking. And I was wondering if the gas station, if that does end up happening, does the gas station get closed off as well? Because what we saw happening was that people were actually gunning it down Elm Street a lot faster than they do generally, which is fast enough, because they knew that there was nobody going to be coming the other way, and then just using the gas station as an entry into that intersection. So I just wanted to make that point. And that's really it. I, you know, as a resident now, I've been there for 11 years, have no problem having it be cut off at the end, or one way, or whatever it needs to be. But that's it. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Jackie. Chris? I didn't realize you were interested in this, Chris.
I didn't get the time to sign up. My name's Chris Frank, and I live on Evans Court and the corner of Oak Avenue and Evans Court. And I just want to speak to the idea of waiting several years to do this study. And I think that, you know, as you know, there's so many large projects that haven't happened or are in process, and now we have the East Main project now starting up and the Shelton Station. So there's a lot of development that's going to be going on. We could say that again in 3 years. We need to wait until another development happens before we do this study, before we take any action.
Y'all have convinced me. It's okay. I was just thinking, man, we're going to open this big thing there. So I hope that, it, you know, even if we don't wait, that we at least factor that in a real way.
You know, you folks, you know, and are the only people that can really take a long-term look at how it affects the neighborhood and do something now that has real long-term ramifications. The other thing I'd like to say is that, you know, when we were here before trying to get a traffic bump there, and it was recognized by everyone that that was an issue that needed to be addressed, and we got a speed table, which is designed for to reduce traffic to 25 miles an hour. If you look at the design of that table, that speed table, and that's what it's designed to do. Well, this is a street that's a 20-mile-an-hour speed limit. So it's no wonder that it doesn't really slow traffic down appreciably. So, but I mean, I think we've already established that there's a need to address the traffic issue. And I'll just say one more thing, and that is that, that if a street was built today in Carrboro to have that amount of traffic, it would have to have sidewalks on both sides and be several feet wider. So, you know, that would be, if you built a street like that now, it would be designated as an alley, you know, and would not be something that was designed to carry as much traffic as it does. So,
okay.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
I was just going to reiterate the point on timing, but it sounds like we're all
okay. Good. Yeah, you already convinced Jackie, don't worry. All right. very good. All right. Board members?
I have a basic question.
All right.
Could somebody, and I'm not saying that I disagree with it, I would just like to understand why the study of one way on that street would take either 200 hours or $24,000. Like, what's the scope of work here? It's not that I don't trust you, it's just I don't get it.
Help us understand what you'll be looking
at. Uh-huh.
Thank you.
I think what you'd want to take a look at is the different phases of the study. You need to collect comprehensive data to do it. You would probably want to collect segment counts on various segments along Oak Avenue. So you would need to have staff put out and take up traffic counters. You'd probably need some human counters this is just off the top of my head, just so you know, at each end and maybe in the middle, so you could get an idea of what traffic volumes are on each segment to help you know how many cars are actually going through and how many cars are driving on Oak to access homes. And then you would, I think, want to maybe collect some data on nearby streets, too, to know what the traffic impact might be on nearby streets of making it one way. Perhaps it could be done for less than 200 hours, a very rough estimate.
I'm not saying that you're wrong. I just want to understand what goes into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think one of the key issues in the one-way, northbound one-way proposal for Oak Avenue is, I don't really have a sense of how much of this school traffic coming in the morning to the elementary school comes down Oak Avenue to get there. And well, I've got a good feeling about how much of that traffic comes down Ash Street. I know that, and there's a lot. And I guess the point being though that you know, if you make Oak Avenue one way northbound, then any school traffic that's currently coming in on Oak Avenue heading toward Carver Elementary is going to be shifted around to have to come in on Shelton Street. And that's not as, that doesn't, I mean, maybe that works fine, and maybe that's, like, I think most of the school buses come in on Shelton Street already because they can't make that turn at Oak and Shelton. But they do make that turn. Well, anyway, but the point being that it's both the school buses and the sort of moms and dads dropping off that we need to consider that about. Okay. Yes.
And I don't know if this is for Jeff, but so I heard four recommendations coming from speakers, and I just kind of want to make sure I haven't left anything else. One is reducing speed. The second is striping. Third, it seems fairly consistent. Folks really like the idea of the one-way northbound. And fourth is the raised pedestrian island at Oak and Greensboro. And then, and I guess this is dependent upon the other factors, would be a considerable speed bump or table, because some tables are actually pretty formidable. Was there any other?
Yeah, that's people? Right.
Okay. So,
was that a motion to add those items to?
And unless I left, you're
but
right.
It would be the I think the combination one way and sidewalk.
Right. That's what you meant by
right. Mark pedestrian.
Right, right. But the combo of those two. Not
an
either or, but a both.
Okay.
So if there's nothing else that needs to be added to that list.
Is the combo on the list? Not to be dense, I just want to.
Yeah.
Did you get that, Jeff?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll second.
Okay. Special combo.
So does that leave, like, the question of the Elm Street
the
intersection?
The amendment that on the resolution where it talks about the road diet, that we include exploration of Sammy's idea of adding the painted refuge by East Poplar.
Would I need to add in the request to look into the bike box, or is that something?
Well, I wasn't entirely persuaded about it, okay. But personally, but I mean, I'm not opposed to it exactly, but just would need more information. I'd like to see it somewhere, I think.
Could I add, just to make sure, not just the I was hoping we could also refer to DOT when they come to us with the road diet plan not just the painted island, but the possibility of a crosswalk there, perhaps kind of like Weaver Street and Main treatment is.
So I think that's intended as a friendly amendment. Mm-hmm. Who moved it again? Randy? Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay, and you all accept that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I want to make sure, along with the combo, that whatever study is done factors in the best estimate possible of the impact of Shelton Station on the neighborhood, because that's going to change the traffic count. So we know how many units are going in there. We don't believe that there'll be one car each. So let's factor that in as much as we can.
And are we considering the issue of that one solid line where the drop-off is for kids? Did we already speak to that?
You're talking about that we talked about that a little bit at Shelton and Ash. I'm not sure what conclusion we drew, but
there was a recommendation, right, in the report.
Did you all recommend a solution to that problem, or I think it's just kind of
about it's on the last meeting of just sort of marking it as one side is just for drop off only,
right,
and not a travel lane.
Yeah, the street through should be a kind of jog left. Mm-hmm. We just need some pavement marking out there.
Just signage.
Okay.
This resolution does not include a roundabout out here.
No.
Okay. As if it did, I couldn't vote for it.
Randy, are you keeping track of all those additions to your resolution?
I've got six.
Further study.
As long as Kathy's got.
Someone, Jeff's writing away.
Kathy and Jeff. That's good.
Okay. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? Matter passed unanimously. All right. That brings us to a public hearing on a concept for safety improvements in the Jones Ferry Road corridor.
Which would be Jeff.
Welcome back.
Thanks.